Someone said that the resurrection answers everything. And I'm not going to try to answer everything this morning about the resurrection. Martin Luther King Jr. preached a message on Easter in 1957 that he entitled, Questions That Easter Answers. And in that message, he answered a lot of the things that he felt that Easter answered. The resurrection does answer a lot of questions. And I believe that Jesus being raised from the dead provides us with a lively hope. You know, Peter mentioned that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. Praise God. He went on to say, To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. A lively hope. An inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and one that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The resurrection provides us with a living Lord. The resurrection provides us with a living Master. The resurrection provides us with a living Savior. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
There's one aspect of the resurrection that I want us to notice specifically this Easter morning. And that is that Easter is for everyone. I'm going to look for quite a bit of time here into the scriptures. I'm going to begin with Mark chapter 16. We spend really just so little of time looking at Easter. You know, there's Christmas. We seem to spend an entire month looking at strictly Christmas time, but here we come to Easter and we don't really spend a whole lot of time because it's drawn out and there's so many aspects. We think about Lent and approaching the Holy Week, and we spend time thinking about that as we approach that Palm Sunday, and then we approach Good Friday, and then of course Easter Sunday is a big celebration. Wonderful, joyous occasion. And I want to spend just a little bit of focus here this morning looking at different passages. And I know that Sunday School Lesson has already looked at one portion of it. And we're going to look there again as well. But I want to begin with Mark chapter 16. So if you want to follow along, you can follow along with this. And I'm going to read several verses here. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, or be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, I just lost my place. Sometimes technology does mess things up. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that she had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. So here's almost a summary of what had taken place and of how Jesus had come to specific people. You see, Easter is for everyone. Not just the core, not just the ones that are in the inner clique, but Easter is for everyone. If we go to John's Gospel, chapter 20, we can see yet further. And I know that this is the portion that has already been read in Sunday school, but some of you weren't here at Sunday school, so let me read it again. And even if you were all here, I would probably still read it again. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? I think Caleb touched on this a little bit in Sunday school. I think I heard a little bit of what he was saying there about it. You know, it's just hard to imagine that she wouldn't have recognized him. Maybe she didn't really see him. She just saw a portion, saw him standing there, and it goes on to say that she presumed that it was the gardener. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Wow. Are you getting the picture that Easter is for everyone? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. But Thomas, skipping down a few verses, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, Again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he unto Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Are you seeing the picture that he's painting here for us? That Easter is for everyone. Here we have Thomas who didn't believe. And I know it's easy for us to criticize him because we are looking back on it with 20/20 vision. We are able to see it so clearly from our vantage point. And so it's easy for us to throw clouds of criticism back at him. And yet how often it is for us that we too may struggle sometimes with really believing him. Really paying attention to what he says or what is being told us about God's word. And so often we find it within our heart that we are faithless to believe and to grasp. Oh, sure, we can understand it when the preacher's preaching about it. We can understand it when the teacher's teaching about it. We can understand it when somebody else testifies about it. But when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road for me individually or for you individually, when the problem comes to a personal level, then we have a difficult time believing it for ourselves. And that's where Thomas was. Thomas followed him for all of those years. Thomas had seen everything. He had experienced all of those same things. But somewhere he had missed out in that first revealing of the risen Savior. And he heard these guys talking about it. And he heard these people, these women talking about it. But there was something for himself where the rubber meets the road, where it was for him in his personal life that Thomas just couldn't get it. If we go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." It apparently was consuming their thoughts, consuming their minds, and they were just walking along talking about it. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, 'What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?' And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him," boy, I'd like to paraphrase here. Put a little bit of up-to-date vernacular in this. Let me stick with the printed text that's here. "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where have you been hiding?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, this is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, the men now that were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." These disciples were so distraught that they had even failed to mention that they believed that he was the Messiah until later. When they first introduced the subject to Christ after his questioning, he simply was saying to them that he was a good prophet, that he was a good man, that he had some mighty deeds, and he spoke some tremendous words from God, and all the people were listening and hearing, but he died. We thought that he was the Messiah. We thought that he was going to come and set up his earthly kingdom, and he was going to break the chains of Rome, and we were going to be free people once again. But he's dead. And then to top all that off, these women came back to the company and said that the tomb's empty, that he's alive. The angel said so. And then those two disciples went and looked and came back and said, yes, the tomb is empty. We didn't see him, but the tomb's empty. He's gone. Their minds must have been in a confused state at this point. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, knowing their heart, he spoke to them, and in the King James, it's rather coarse. It may be an affront to them. It may be abrupt in their thinking. Then he said unto them, O fools. Oh, can you imagine Christ talking to you that way? Let me paraphrase that or use the Amplified. Jesus said unto them, O foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception, slow of heart to believe. That softens it a little bit, maybe. But isn't that what was going on? They were struggling to believe and grasp and understand. Slow of perception or dull of perception, sluggish in mind, slow of heart to believe. Adhere to and trust in and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken. Go back and review what the prophets have said. And this is a fulfillment, he told us. Verse number 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So then, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with it. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, Christ the Lord is risen. I don't know that that company answered that same way, but I like it. Because they were exuberant. They had seen the Lord. They had witnessed him personally. And so they were exuberant about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Easter is for everyone. Not just the inner circle. Not just the clique. Easter is for everyone. Let's go back and review it quickly of these that Jesus specifically came to talk to and to visit personally. First of all, we find Mary Magdalene. Who was she? Well, she was an awful sinner. Maybe you could even say that she was the awfulest of sinners. She was the bottom of the bottom. Her life had been transformed, though, by the living Jesus. The change that had taken place had completely changed her life, had completely changed her world. But now he was gone. Her heart was a quivering, palpitating, hot mess. She was broken. She was empty, grieving, hollow inside. It seemed as though she was at the lowest of the low. She had been the most sinful of sinners. Christ had completely changed her, and now he was gone, and now that he was gone, she didn't understand. She didn't know what to do. She did not know how to proceed with life. And so she stayed behind, grieving. The closest place to where she last knew him to be felt like to her that that was as close to him as she could get at that point. She didn't know where else to go. She didn't know what else to do. Her heart was broken. I'm reminded of the words of John W. Peterson. I wish I could sing them this morning. But he penned, in my darkness, Jesus found me. Touched my eyes and made me see. broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, amazing truth to ponder, he who angel host attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. I can almost hear Mary singing those words before he died. But then he came and he spoke her name. He came to where she needed him to come and meet her, the outcast of society, before Jesus touched her and made her whole again. Came to meet her need. And then we see these two disciples that are walking. I don't know a whole lot about them. It's hard to be able to really piece together very much about these two individuals. We know so little. But one thing that the two disciples seem to agree on, and it came to light after Jesus had revealed himself to them and they recognized who he was, then we find that there's something about them, though, that drew the attention of Jesus Christ himself personally to come and meet them on that road to Emmaus. You say, what is it? It's just a simple phrasing that is recorded there in that passage. Their hearts burned with desire. No, it doesn't say it that way. It says their hearts were burning within. And so we can understand that there was something burning within as Jesus revealed himself to them through the prophets. Their hearts were burning and yearning and longing for that to be real. I think that should speak volumes to us. That it should speak to us to realize that if our heart is longing to know Jesus, that if we are really hungry for him and seeking him, wanting to know what he is and who he is, and we are doing everything that we can to know him, then I believe that you and I can have the confidence that we could be one of those two disciples walking in our road in life, and Jesus will come and meet us where we are. You see, Easter is for everyone. We can't ignore Peter. Peter's the focal point many times in this past week and days that are ahead. Peter was the denier. He was so bold in his profession, yet he was so weak in his will. He would go to death with Christ as long as it was by the sword. He was willing to die for Christ. He even showed how much he was willing to die for Christ when he drew his sword and cut off Malchus's ear there near the Garden of Gethsemane. He honestly thought that that was what was going to happen, that he was willing to go to the death with Christ, fighting and swinging his sword for Christ. But he couldn't bear the thought of going like a lamb to the slaughter. All of a sudden, it dawned on Peter that he just didn't understand the methods of the master. He didn't realize that his kingdom was not an earthly one. And so now, as he watched Jesus present himself to be led away to judgment, his mind was in turmoil. His heart was wrenching. But when that rooster sounded and called out its morning alarm, the words of Jesus began to break through the fog that had enshrouded his mind. And he went out and wept bitterly. What was he weeping over? You see, there was sorrow and anguish and guilt that washed over him in that moment as he realized his error. But Jesus said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Now, all the other disciples seemed to run and hide too, except for John. He did find his way back up there to the cross. But it seemed like everybody else ran away and hid. And John joined them later on too. He was in the closed upper room or in that place where everyone was gathered with the doors shut for fear of the Jews. But Jesus singled Peter out knowing all of this that had taken place. Jesus heard that rooster crowing. Jesus knew what was taking place, and he knew the condition of Peter's heart at that moment. Go tell Peter. Go tell Peter. There may be a lot of people like Peter around. No, we don't want to call ourselves that way because we think that we're a little bit better than that. We won't deny him the way Peter did. But you see, Peter had reached a point, I believe that at this point, following that rooster, that he honestly believed that there was no hope for him. He had gone too far. He had done too much. Too much had happened. And he was done. But Jesus came and said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." But what about Thomas? What about Thomas? He struggled to believe. He was wrought with doubt, overcome with grief. Maybe that grief that was overwhelming him caused him to doubt or hold back in faith. But the significant thing about Thomas, even though we call him, even to this day, 2,000 years later, so much has gone by and we still call him the doubting Thomas. But the thing about Thomas was that he stayed with the church. Even when he had darkness in his mind, when doubt seemed to cloud his thinking, he stayed with the believers. And because he stayed with the believers, Christ came to him. I think that speaks volumes to us. Even though he doubted, and we call him the doubting Thomas, Jesus finds a point in time where he goes to Thomas personally and said, "Thomas, here I am." You see, Thomas didn't need what he thought he needed at that point either. Thomas fully believed at that moment when he saw Jesus Christ and his hands outspread, he didn't need to go ahead and do what he said had to be done. Sometimes we make and throw conditions at God. "God, I'll do this if you'll do this. I'll believe you if you do this." Well, Thomas was that way. He said, "I will not believe until I can put my finger into his nail prints and I can put my hand into his side where they thrust that spear." But when it came right down to it, he didn't need that. He knew and he believed. All the disciples were fearful and afraid. They were lost in their wounded emotions. But Jesus came and met with them time and time again after his resurrection, because Easter is for everyone. Easter's for you. Easter is for you. Easter is for you. Yes, you that is maybe burdened with the bitter gall of the past. He rose from the dead to meet you in those painful chains of bitterness. Maybe overwhelmed by the darkness of the things that you've done or by what's happened to you. How can I ever be forgiven? But he rose. He rose again to offer you full forgiveness, to offer you full pardon, to offer you peace and freedom and light and life. Maybe somebody is confused by doubt or unable to understand. You see, he rose to present the truth to you. He rose again to invite you to come and see for yourselves, to experience his resurrection in a personal way. He said, here's my hands and here's my side. Though we don't see it that way, he has presented to us the gospel. He has given to us the truth of himself and of the plan of salvation and the way to heaven right here in the Word of God for us to believe and to receive for ourselves. Remember what he said to Peter, and I've already said this earlier in the service, but I have prayed for you that your faith will remain strong. He's now seated beside the Father, and he's interceding for his church. He's interceding for the believers. He's interceding for us. He knows us by name. Easter is for everyone, and that includes you. Just as the gospel message of Christmas, where God sent his only begotten Son to whosoever will, the same message rings true for Easter, that he rose again for you personally, so that you can have life, and that you can have life more abundantly, and that we can have a lively hope to see him again someday. I don't know what you're experiencing this morning. I'm not sure how Easter really reflects in your heart and life, but I want you to know on this Easter Sunday morning that Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is for you personally. So we say, Happy Easter. And we rejoice in the reality that Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ the Lord is risen. Would you stand with me this morning? Are you struggling? Are you struggling with belief? Are you struggling with doubt? Are you struggling with past? Are you struggling with longing to know him more, to know him better, to understand? He wants to meet your need today. He is risen. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Sturdivant, would you dismiss us in prayer?